Welcome everybody to the Juice Box. I'm your host, Coach John Willis, man. Boy, I love that song. Welcome back. So what I'm gonna give the people is I'm gonna record an episode every time I make this drive. So here we go. Man, let's get rolling. We got the first shout out to our sponsors, man. Shout out to Max Hoops, Dr. Bethany Nutrition. Shout out to Convoy Basketball, man. Shout out to Leadership Surge. Get your management train on. And our title sponsor, the CJW brand, man. You already know what it is. And the Juice University, TJU, baby. The number one place for development of coaches. Woo! Let's ride. Man, I'm so glad to be with you here on this fine, beautiful Wednesday morning. Coming to you live on the podcast airwaves. So, man. We got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to get into a real deep question right out the gate. We ain't even going to waste no time. We're just going to get rolling. Rocking and rolling. Rolling and rocking. Here we go. Here is the food for thought. It's an old cliche. They tell us that experience is the greatest teacher. And oftentimes that's true. So my question to you is, if experience is really the greatest teacher, why don't we question the experience? Because if the experience is the greatest teacher, if the experience has been whitewashed, if the experience has been tainted, if the experience has not been given to you raw, then what have you really learned? You see, you understand that I watched several films. I look at a lot of movies. I read, I research. I'm always on this quest for more knowledge. Why am I always on the quest for more knowledge? Well, it's simple, because there was a time in which gaining knowledge was illegal for people who look like me. So I try to gain all the knowledge that I possibly can. Do you understand? As a person who taught history for 8 years, not one time, had I ever seen Bloody Sunday in a textbook? Not one time. That whole scene going across that Pettus Bridge, that Edmund Pettus Bridge. We're talking about people struggling for the right to vote. Not one time did I see that in my history book, in my text, that I was supposed to be leading and developing young minds in. So what I'm telling you is this. If the experience has been tainted, if the experience has been whitewashed, see, all this stuff that we learn, we're learning from what someone else is telling us, someone who we think is not supposed to be lying to us, someone who is supposed to have our best interest at heart because they are helping us grow and develop. However, a lot of things that they have told us, a lot of things that they have said to us, a lot of things that they have made us out to believe are not always true. They are not always as though as they seem. Yes, there are absolutely times where people tell you Okay. You should drive with your seatbelt fasten. You should have your license, registration, readily available. So that when you are stopped by an officer, you can show that your paperwork and your information is correct and up to date. Police are here to protect and serve. Police are keeping the streets safe. So therefore, the way that it is taught to us, the way that it is taught to us, there should never be any reason to feel threatened by an encounter with an officer. Because that's the way that it's taught to us. But yet our experience is completely different. Our experience is completely different. You say, well, coach, how was your experience completely different? Do you know the amount of heart racing? Do you know the sweaty palms? The amount of man, I just want to survive this and get home to my family that goes on through your mind when you are pulled over by the police. I remember being broke down, driving a van full of student athletes. Being in a van, a college van, with markings on the side, you know, representing the university. My school gear on. We had just finished coming from playing a basketball game. And it was cold, so the van was on and running, but something was going on with the transmission. So the transmission was slipping. So I pulled over, you know, right as we got onto the on-ramp. I was trying to get us home, and transmission slipped, so I just pulled over to the shoulder, had my emergency hazards flashing on, had them called the school motor pool, so help was on the way. But when the police pulled up behind us, you know, and I have all types of kids on the bus, had all types of kids. You know, we had all types of kids. We had black kids, we had white kids, we had kids of Native American descent, we had kids of Middle Eastern descent, we had a couple of Asian American descent kids on the van. And I distinctively remember it was cold. It was cold enough for me to have the heat on in the van running while the van was stopped. But I specifically remember when the police pulled up behind us. Remember, we were already stopped. I specifically remember turning the van off and taking my hands, rolling down my window in the cold, taking my hands and sticking them out of the window as the officer was approaching. Why? I remember being in the car with my wife. Now, in moving to Oregon, I learned quickly that it's really bad for your allergies out here. I mean, extremely bad. The grass seed pollen really bothers my allergies. So I was on the highway riding behind a truck that was carrying hay. Okay? It was a truck carrying hay. And some of the hay, if you roll behind these type of trucks, if they don't have like that plastic tarp covering over the top of it, sometimes the wind can get to it and, you know, some of the hay can blow off. So some of the hay was blowing off of the truck. Obviously, we had air conditioning on. Boom, I'm breathing this stuff in. So I'm sneezing, you know, having a, you know, my eyes getting watery, scratchy, things of that sort. So I accelerated to get around this truck And then got back over to get off at the next exit to get some water. And I felt like I shouldn't be, you know, driving while I'm sneezing and my eyes all itchy and stuff like that. So I wanted to calm myself down with my allergies just for a safety purpose of everybody on the road. And a police officer came up on a motorcycle and, you know, and he didn't say I was speeding. He didn't say, you know, I did anything wrong. He didn't say I was, you know, reckless driving or anything like that. You know, I did drift kind of, you know, when I sneezed. But now my eyes are red. Okay. And I'm still sneezing. And, you know, and the way he just started yelling at me, man, give me your license. And, you know, just, are you high or something, man? What's wrong with you? All that. Just really just, you know, just the way he was talking at me. You know, and it made my wife uncomfortable. And I remember my wife started to cry. And, you know, that was her first time seeing something like that, you know, firsthand. And so she just was upset because she was like, well, sir, you don't really have to talk to him like that. You understand? So my question, it all goes back to the question of if experience is supposed to be the best teacher, then why are we being taught flawed experiences? Because what we're taught on a daily basis as we're growing up is not the reality of what we have to deal with on a day-to-day. I love school. I love the idea of school. But I talk about it all the time. I took 4 years of English. I took 4 years of math. I learned Pythagorean theorem. I learned slope-intercept form. I know how to work with exponents. And I know how to solve for X. But what I never got was mental health training. I never got anything on mental health. I never was taught what is this that I'm feeling? What are these emotions that are running in me? And why do I feel like this? What is triggering me? How am I supposed to react? What can I do? What steps can I take when I feel this way so that I don't do something that I'm going to regret 10 minutes from now? Something that's going to cost me years of my life from now. I was never taught that. Nah. We're going to take a break. And we're going to be right back. All right. Beautiful segment, man. So now let's talk sports. You know, what happens? What's the measuring stick for this Brooklyn Nets team? You know, I think they have the greatest score we've ever seen in Kevin Durant. Two of the best finishers we've ever seen, especially Kyrie Irving, man. You know, he just really redefines finishing because normally you're like, oh, well, this kid, they can finish, they can jump, and they can dunk it. He's not one that dunks on people very often, but he finishes so well. You know, he's just so crafty around the rim, you know. So, and then you got Harden, who's just an outstanding isolation player, man. And he draws fouls. He can score at all three levels. He can pass. So it's like, I think it's championship or bust for this team. So I'm interested to see how it goes. But I do think it's championship or bust for that team. Interesting fact this week, I was looking at the NCAA top 25 men's basketball poll, and there's no Carolina, no Duke, no Kentucky, no Kansas. None of those teams are in the top 25. And I think that's the first time I've ever seen that in my lifetime happen. So that was interesting to see that none of those teams are in the top 25. And, but then the question is why?
You know, and I think it's because, you know, the way that those teams have traditionally been built, you know, they get better players than everybody else normally. And that's changing a bit now, you know, with this whole influx of like one and done, like what Coach Cal was doing with one and done players, it worked for him because he was like the only one in that business. And it was like, man, you know, there are only a select group of guys who are able to come out of high school, play 1 year of college, and then go to the NBA. This is like pre-G League days, right? And then somebody like Duke was getting like four-year guys. Carolina, maybe some one and done, but more two-year guys. Some four-year guys, at least their go-to guys, like Hansborough, for example. You know, he's a four-year guy. So I think the influx of a lot of more people are in the one and done business. So that has weakened or watered down the pool because these kids have more choices. You know, like Kay Cunningham, for him to go to Oklahoma State, you know, that's wild. For Jaden McDaniel to be at University of Washington, you know, that's for Jalen Suggs to be at Gonzaga. Like, those are the typical type of kids that will end up at Kentucky. And now they're not. Or they'd end up at Carolina, or they end up at Duke, you know, like Zion, RJ Barrett. And I think if you have more people who are dipping their hands in that pot, I think that weakens that, the strength of it. So anyway, man, I'm gonna get out of here on this segment, but I hope everybody enjoys it. Have a good evening. I hope you enjoy the music, man. It's Amp Webster. AMP, Out the Pen. These are tracks from his Son of a Preacher Man album. So hope y'all enjoy it. Remember, always hit us up, man, anytime. Instagram at coach_John_Willis or at Mo_Minutes. Twitter at coach_J_Willis. Snapchat. Hard Knock 6, hit us up, man. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Juice Box. Grace and peace.